You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
This morning, we're starting our brand new series called The Favor of God. This is week one, The Favor of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 61, or you can look on the screen behind me, or you can text that word notes. We sang a song about it this morning, but here's the scripture. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." The title of this message this morning is The Favor of God, Part 1, Finding Favor. You don't find favor. You find God, and His favor finds you. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we say this service is yours. We are yours. This church is yours. We don't make room for you. We give you the room. We declare no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this high school. So we say, fear go and Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit, we declare that you are welcome here. You are the guest of honor. I pray right now that you would speak today. I pray that you would breathe upon your logos written word and it would become rhema. It would become life today. Lord, we thank you that your word is true and every man's a liar. Lord, we declare right now that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Lord, I thank you. Nobody came here to hear me, but we all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said amen, amen. And amen. Look at the order of Exodus 33:13. The order of things are really important because if you get the order of things wrong, it doesn't come out the way you expected it to do. A lot of you had Thanksgiving, and some of you, the meals did not come out the way you expected it to because the order of things weren't right. Exodus 33:13, look at the text. It says this, "Teach me your ways." I want to focus on the way you tell me to live. Not what's right in my eyes, not what I think's right, not if I can sleep well at night, not if my conscience is clear, but God, what does your word tell me how I should live, how I should date, how I should be married, how I should be a husband, how I should be a wife, what should I do with my money, how should I pray, the way you tell me to live, that I may know you intimately, not know things about you, not have scripture memorized, but know you through relationship, know you with intimacy. And then it says this, and then find your favor. See, favor is the last in this order because favor is a result of seeking God's heart, not his hand. Many of you guys know my papa. He's sitting in the back there. He came on the Israel trip with us. He kind of became a celebrity on our Israel trip. Everyone knew papa. And we had Thanksgiving over at papa and grandma's, and grandma made just an unbelievable meal. Ate too much, shouldn't have eaten that much, but it was great. Papa told me, he said, man, Preston, my five-year-old son, he said he kept coming up to me all day and just hugging me. He said he didn't say one word to me. He just came up and would just hug me. He said he did it over and over all day long. And he said, man, it really blessed me. And do you know that's how God feels? When you just come up and lift your hands in worship and just hug on him, when you just love on him, when you're not just coming to him over and over because you want and you have a need and you have a request and God, can you do this for me? And God, can you do that for me? And God, can you do this for me? And your prayer time is really just Christmas list time. Lord, I need this for Christmas. I want that for Christmas. I need this for my life. I need that for my life. I need you to help me there. I can help me there. Good talking to you, God. Great conversation, Abba. No, there's no intimacy. There's no relationship. There's no back and forth. There's not how are you. There's not spending time together. It is a one-way ATM machine God. We have taught a people how to seek his hand and not his heart. But if you see his hand, you're going to see the nail marks in it, which reveals his heart for you. We have to seek the heart of God. Teach me your ways that I may know you and find favor. Today, I'm going to do my best to help you understand the favor of God. What is the favor of God? Favor is gaining approval or acceptance or a special benefit or blessing from God or man. Favor is like a wind that was once blowing against you is now blowing for you. It's now blowing behind you. Favor is doing the same thing you've done before, but getting better results. So favor is pretty much like working out when you're in your 20s. You're doing the same thing. You just get better results. No, favor is when something comes upon you and you've done the same thing over and over, but all of a sudden it's just working. Favor is what distinguishes you. Favor is movement that doesn't take your effort or strength. A lot of times in Christianity, we feel like going with the things of God or being in the perfect will of God takes this giant effort. It's like rolling a boulder uphill. No, the favor of God and his perfect will is like walking with the boulder as it rolls downhill. When I described mercy culture to other church planters, I felt awkward in the conversation because they're like, this is the hardest thing we've ever done. The enemy's just coming against us. No one's showing up. No one's giving. No one's doing anything. And I don't get it. I've made this great service that people should love. I was like, well, we made a service that the Lord might like. And it's amazing people show up, and it's amazing people give, and it's amazing people serve because we didn't make it about people. We made it about him. When I used to describe this church being launched, I said, I feel like it's going without me, and I'm just running to keep up. Because there's favor on it. The favor of God is on this. See, nothing can replace the favor of God. And I came to tell you this morning that God doesn't have favorites, but he does have favor. Romans 2:11 says, for God shows no partiality, but that word is favoritism. God doesn't show favoritism, but he does show favor. I had a friend of mine say to me, he said, Landon, there's so much favor on your life. He said, how would you categorize the greatest place of favor? Which was a great question, and it was cool for me to even process because I had to go through all the areas of my life where I could see God's hand on. I'm like, well, God's hand's there, and God's hand's really there, and God's hand's really there, and God's hand's, man. And so I'm going through, I'm processing, and my response was, I said, I think I'm rich in relationships. So God has given us spiritual fathers. God has given us overseers. He's given us relationships that are so deep that we couldn't get this through our own connections. It was just the favor of God. This is how personally I would define favor. This is Landon Schott's definition. Favor is simply when God is for you because he is with you. Say that again. Where God is for you because he is with you. I love what Romans 8:31 says. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter what you're facing or what comes against you when the favor of God is on your life. You succeed and you excel in any circumstance. See, there's so many people that are trying to explain away why there's no favor on their life. But the favor of God transcends all situations. See, so many people say this. They say, well, I don't know if God's with me. Here's the thing, is how do you know if God is with you? Because you're with him. God, I know God is with me because I'm with him. I know God is with me because every single day I'm pursuing him. You know how you get in the perfect will of God? Pursue it every day. Amen. I promise you, if you ask God and you pursue his will every single day, it is impossible not to be in it. You will find it because scripture says, if you seek me, you'll find me. Do you know why people aren't in the perfect will of God? Because they're seeking their own will. And here's the thing, it's not favor if God's not with you. I'm gonna say that again. It's not favor if God is not with you. So declaring God is with you when you're not with him, it's flattery, it's not favor. Many people are saying, oh, you know, God's, the favor of God's with me. That's not God's favor because he's not with you. How do you know? Because you're not with him. And if you're not living with him, if you're not living for him, it's not the favor of God. Because when your circumstances change, so does everything in your life. But when you're living with God and your circumstances change, your favor doesn't. The favor of God cannot be controlled. It cannot be manipulated by man because it comes from him. Let me give you some examples of scripture on favor. Do you know there's over 150 different verses on favor? 150, let me give you a few of them. Abel found favor with God when he brought his best offering. Your best to God opens doors of favor. Noah found favor with God, and God called him to save mankind in Genesis chapter 6. Abraham found favor with God. I love this. And God said, if you go to the left, I'll bless you, and you go to the right, I'll bless you. See, there's so many Christians that are walking around trying to find which way to go. Just waiting for a random door of favor to open. That's not how favor works. Favor causes the door that you walk towards to be open. Because the favor is not on the door. Favor is on you no matter what. So guess what? You don't have to put fleeces before the Lord before everything you do. If you go to the left, he's going to bless what's to the left. If you go to the right, he's going to bless to the right. See, Lot thought there was favor on him because there was favor around him. So you know the story of Abraham and Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and there was quarreling that rose between their herdsmen. And so Abraham said, go wherever you want. I'll go the opposite direction. He looked around, and he saw what was best. Watch. And what was best didn't work out for him very well, did it? Because the favor wasn't on him. The favor was on Abraham. Lot should have said, Abraham, you choose and just bless me. And I just want the crumbs from your favor table to fall on me, and that's all I need. Listen, favor is straight from heaven. Joseph found favor with his father, with his boss, with his jailer, and with Pharaoh, and most of all from God. We'll teach more about that next week. Moses found favor with God and regularly met with him face to face. Gideon found favor with God and he answered him. Ruth found favor with God and experienced supernatural provision from the Lord. Hannah found favor with God through prayer and petition and gave birth to one of the greatest prophets who ever walked the face of the earth, even though her womb was barren. Nehemiah found favor and was able to rebuild the holy wall, the holy city walls. The psalmist sang about favor. The wise spoke about experience and wrote about favor. The prophets prophesied about coming favor. Everyone who met Jesus found favor. Everyone who followed Jesus saw favor. And everyone who lives with Jesus lives in his supernatural favor. But my favorite of all has to be Exodus 33:13, where this church was birthed out of, where Moses saw the favor of God. Whatever he did, he succeeded at. The favor of God was on him. And the Bible says that God used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know the story. You went to Sunday school, you heard it. The 10 plagues that came, they went through the wilderness for 40 years. All of these things, all of these amazing moments. But Moses was so passionate about one thing. It wasn't just the favor of God. It was his relationship with him. He said this, I don't want your favor if it doesn't mean I have your presence. God said to Moses, he said, I've given you my favor. Look what he said back. He said, if I have found your favor, show me your ways that I may know you and find favor. Look at this. Moses said, I want to know you are with me and your presence proves your favor. Ah. Without the presence, there's no proof of favor. Moses said, there's favor on me. Show me with your presence. Show me your glory. And your presence is what distinguishes in me. I don't care how rich I am. I don't care what my enemies think about me. I don't care about all the things in my life. The only thing I care about is that your presence is with me. And if I have your presence, I have all the favor I need. This is the vision of our church. Daily time in the presence of God. When you find yourself in the presence of God, when you find yourself intimate and alone with him, you will find yourself having favor with God. Let's continue to define favor. Favor means this in the Greek and the Hebrew. To show favor means to be gracious, to yearn towards, to long for, to be merciful, to be compassionate, to be inclined towards, or to give generously. One rabbi said this. He said, reading the Bible in English is like kissing a woman through the veil. You lose so much depth when you read it in English. And Hebrew words give so much of a richness to it. So there's really two Hebrew words that begin to define favor. But when these words begin to define favor, they bring so much life to it that it's so hard just to put English words behind it. But there's really two words. And the first one is the word hen. And it means this: grace, charm, favor, or popularity with man and God. It means this, that both man and God notice you. The next word is hanan. It means to show favor, to be gracious, to show mercy, or to bend or to stoop down in kindness to an inferior. Now watch this. Both definitions both mention grace and mercy. Because when you begin to look at the word favor, you find grace and mercy. In fact, if you look at the word grace in the Hebrew, it actually means an unmerited favor. So there's a close association with both these words, and both grace and mercy are both translated with these same two words. So they both mean grace and mercy. So watch this. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then come with confidence and draw near the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Let me show you this. There's a slight controversy or confusion between what is actually grace and what is actually mercy. And in fact, majority of the time when I hear people describe grace, they're actually defining mercy, not grace. So what is grace if you're taking notes? Grace is God's unmerited favor. What does it mean to have unmerited favor? It means not adequately earned or deserved. But mercy is God's undeserved kindness. So mercy speaks to forgiveness, and grace speaks to empowering. Or empowerment. So watch this. Mercy is what forgives you of all of your sin. Grace is what empowers you to overcome that sin. So watch. If you have committed sin, you need mercy. If you're resisting sin, you need grace. And when you have found favor, it's when you've received mercy and grace. What is the favor of God? The favor of God is when you've been forgiven from that sin. When the favor of God is when you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to overcome that sin, where you are no longer bound to that sin, you're no longer slaves to that sin, but you're empowered to overcome that sin. So that is when grace and mercy find each other. They find each other in favor. And it's crazy because you get the same word to describe both, and it's this: undeserved. So that's when you can't have a religious spirit like you did something to deserve it and earn it. Listen, you can't be holy enough. You can't be righteous enough. You can't know the Bible good enough. You can't be pure enough. You can't be perfect enough. See, if you want to experience the true favor of God, it's undeserved. You can't be good enough for it. You can't be holy enough for it. You can't be righteous enough for it. And if you think that you are more holy or righteous than somebody else, you don't deserve it. It takes great humility to say, I didn't deserve this. It takes great humility to say, I don't deserve this favor. Have you ever seen someone strut with a little bit of arrogance like they're self-made? I hate that term, self-made. Because there's nobody who's self-made. No. You didn't make yourself. Man, and if you got what you deserved, you can make your bed in hell. That's what you can self-make every morning. No, because that is what we deserve. But somebody, thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his undeserved kindness, his unmerited, undeserved favor. Thank God for it. So here's what I'm calling this message, finding favor. How do you find favor? We see over and over, dozens of times, as you begin to go study this word favor in the Bible, you see over and over and over that so-and-so found favor in the eyes or the sight of the Lord. What does it mean to find favor? That phrase, the favor in the eyes, or to find favor in someone's eyes, means to please that person. And then you receive the benefits from that favor. Say that again. How do you find favor in the sight of God? You live to please him. When your child does something that they know pleases you, and then they come to you, did you see my bed was made? Hey, Dad, you see this A on my spelling test? Hey, did you see I did this? See, when they come to you and show you what they know pleases you, favor automatically comes. Listen, you love all of your kids, but they pull favor out of you. You love most your family members. Just being real for the sinner and the saint here. But there's some that you love to give to. What's the difference? It's favor that has been pulled out of you. Those that find favor from God are the ones that are seeking God's heart, not his hand. Ephesians 5:10 says this, find out what pleases the Lord. You want favor from God? Find out what pleases him. You want favor on your marriage? Find out how to behave to one another that pleases him. You want favor on your finances? Stop robbing from God and please him. You want favor on relationships? Honor those relationships. Treat those relationships on how to please him. See, this is the game changer. This is when things shift. And so many people are so frustrated. Worship team, come and join me. They're so frustrated. And they say, why is it so challenging? Why am I in this hard season? Why does it feel that I take one step forward and two steps back? Why am I at this place where it always feels so difficult? It's because you haven't found his favor. See, when you find the favor of the Lord, you take one step back and two steps forward. When you find the favor of God, you do the same thing you've always done. It's just easier. When you find the favor of God, everywhere you turn, doors open and blessings come. Watch, and you were never focused on that to begin with. How do you find the favor of God? You don't. You find God. You find his heart. And his favor finds you. So many people are frustrated because they're trying to find the favor of God in his hand. Lord, if you would just give me what's in your hand, I would be happy. Lord, if you just give me what's in your hand, I'll serve you forever. Lord, if you just give me what's in your hand, I'll obey you. And those that walk in the favor of God say, I don't care what's in your hand. I just want your heart. I just want to be near your heart. I just want to know you. Would you teach me your ways? King David was a screw up. Made mistakes left and right. All sorts of drama. But God said he's a man after my heart. When other kings just wanted his hand, David wanted his heart. Are you the person that wants God's hand? And then you're going to be upset in a week or a month because you'll just need another hand out. Are you a Christ follower that radically, desperately, obsessively pursues his heart? And after you got his heart, you say, I just want to know more. I just want to know more. That's why David said, search my heart. Show me the things, even the things I don't see in myself. No, 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 no. Am I really right with you? I want to be right with you. I want to do what's right. I want to say what's right. I want to act what's right. God, I want my thoughts to please you. I want my mouth to please you. I want my finances to please you. I want my relationships to please you. I want every area of my life to please you. Proverbs 8:35 says, for whoever finds me, finds life, watch, and obtains the favor of the Lord. Whoever finds his heart finds his favor. You don't find favor. You find God, and his favor finds you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.